Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am your host. This is episode 35 of season 2 of TTM Cast. It is Sunday, September 27th. So we have a really fun interview with Susan LeJudai from Card Chat and former Topps employee. You might know Susan as Suze. She is on Instagram and on Twitter, and she is now on Facebook. She is kind of a big wig in the hobby, if you will, and I'm only kidding, but she's been in the hobby for a while. She worked at Beckett and Topps, and now she has a cool e-newsletter about cards called Card Chat. So Susan LeJudai will be joining us later in the show. If you have any questions, comments, or want to give us some feedback about the show, or simply are interested in being a guest on a future show, send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email is ttmcast@yahoo.com. I am on Twitter at CastTTM. I'm posting all the time. I am also on Instagram at TTMCast. I am in numerous Facebook groups, baseball card and collecting Facebook groups and TTM face groups. We have a forum on sportscardforum.com. We are on the podcast is everywhere you can find podcasts. So please check us out. Spread the word. Let people know about what we're doing if you like our show. And let's get on to our first segment. Our first segment, as always, is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby for the past week, and a few things going on. Still, you know, we're deep into NBA playoffs. The Lakers have made the NBA Finals. My Celtics are still hanging on by the skin of their teeth. They are down 3-2 to the Miami Heat, and we've got a game today, so hopefully they can keep that going. We have the NHL Finals going on. We have the last day of Major League Baseball's abbreviated season, so we're going to be starting playoffs. Unfortunately, my Red Sox decided not to show up this year. And of course, we have NFL football. We've got the Patriots going on this week against the Los Angeles Raiders. So hopefully your team is doing well and your fantasy team is doing well. Our next show will be next Sunday, October 4th. For the next 2 weeks, I've interviewed collectors, TTM collectors, so we'll have versions of our Collector's Corner. And then the following 2 weeks, I think, are going to be former Major League Baseball players. So we've got a lot of interviews in the can, but if you're interested in being a guest, as I said at the beginning, if you have a suggestion for a guest, please send me emails at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Just a couple things. I saw Roger Craig, the manager, is no longer signing cards, so that's too bad. I actually sent out a football card to Roger Craig, so I sent to the wrong Roger Craig, and he sent it back to me a while ago, but I thought that was funny. But I guess he is no longer signing cards. The Shriners show that's held here in Wilmington, Massachusetts, that's been held for over 35 years. This is the first time they will not be having a show. It's been canceled because of COVID. They're hoping to maybe have a show in the spring, and they've scheduled their November show, I think, for the first week and in November of 2021. So hopefully that will be getting back in the swing of things. There is also, I saw there's going to be a Virtual Card Expo 2. The card shows that were scheduled for Canada and Chicago, the Chicago Sports Spectacular, and they have combined they're going to run a Virtual Card Expo. It's called Virtual Card Expo 2, and that's going to take place November 21st and 22nd. So interested to see how that goes. Also, if you've been following my stuff, some of my posts lately, you know that I'm working on getting all the 1958 Topps All-Star cards autographed version. So I picked up two more this week. I picked up Bob Turley, who pitched for the New York Yankees, on eBay. And I found a card store in Pennsylvania that had Sherm Lawler, who was the catcher for the Chicago White Sox. And Sherm Lawler passed away in 1977. So I knew that one was going to be a tough one to get. And I kind of got an off-condition one, but the signature is really great. So I'm really pleased to add that to my collection. So I've got, I'm adding Sherm Lawler and Bob Turley, 1958 All-Star cards signed. Not TTM, but still great to add to the collection. And lastly, I'd like to have offer another contest, another chance to win free card authentications from North Carolina Authentication Services and Grading. They are ncasg.biz. His site is ncasg.biz. And they, this is a new card authentication service. He was on our program a couple weeks ago. We've given away a couple already to listeners. So if you're interested in getting a free, that's right, free card authentication of your choice, it can be a card or a piece of memorabilia. He is authenticating any of these. He's a brand new business, but I'm offering a chance to win one of two card authentications, free card authentications from ncasg.biz, which is North Carolina Authentication Service and Grading. So please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com, email at ttmcast@yahoo.com, if you'd like a chance to win a free card grading, and I will announce the winners next week. I'm going to give two gradings away this week, so please send me an email, ttmcast@yahoo.com. Just say free card grading or enter raffle or something like that in the subject line, and just give me your name and email address and maybe a phone number, and we will enter you in the raffle. So good luck to everyone. And now on to our Vern Rapp Minute. Our Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who had passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request. If you're listening to the program, you know why I dedicate this segment to Mr. Vern Rapp. This is kind of, this gives a summary of people who had passed in the past week, so that you don't send out TTM requests and have the same embarrassment than I did. So I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers. We lost a couple of Hall of Famers in football this week. We lost the great Mr. Gale Sayers, who was a friend of the hobby in recent years, until recent years when he got ill. And he was, of course, a star running back and Hall of Fame running back for the Chicago Bears back in the 60s. And Mr. Sayers was 77. Larry Wilson, who was a legendary safety for the St. Louis Cardinals and a Hall of Famer, passed away the other day, and he was 82. We lost a pioneer in baseball broadcasting. This woman, when she was the first woman to broadcast a major league game she did it for the Kansas City A's in 1964. Kind of Charlie Finley was kind of a trailblazer and a maverick, and she became the first woman to broadcast games. She did color commentary for 15 games for the Kansas City A's in 1964. When she did it, her name was Betty Kaywood, but she passed away. She actually got married, and her married name was Betty Bushman, and she was 89 years old. So we lost Ms. Kaywood Bushman, I guess would be how you say her name. She was the first woman to broadcast a Major League Baseball game in 1964 for the Kansas City A's. She was 89. And we lost pitcher Jim Owens, who pitched for the Phillies, Reds, and Astros from 1955 to 1967. He was a starter and a reliever, and again, he had a long career in Major League Baseball, and he passed away. And lastly, in football, the world of football, Mike Tillman, who was a defensive tackle for the Vikings, Saints, Oilers, and Atlanta Falcons from 1966 to 1976, passed away. He was 76 years old. So that closes out the Vern Rap Minute. Our condolences to their families for their loss.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
And now it's time to talk about returns for the week. Just two returns this week. Both kind of older ones. I got Kelly Gruber back. This was sent out in March of 2018. He signed my 1992 Topps card, which he did. It's a great signature. Nice blue Sharpie. Really crisp autograph. I see that he's catching up on his fan mail, and I actually forgot I sent this out, but I was thrilled to get it back the other day. And lastly, I got Benny Blades on a 1992 game day set. I think game day card for my game day set. He signed a nice black Sharpie. Obviously, it's a great card because they're nice big cards, and it's a white stock, and the autographs always look great. So this was a couple months old anyway, and I got Benny Blades back for my 1992 game day set. So that is all for returns. I sent out a few more this week, so hopefully we'll start seeing a few more returns. I'm really just seeing older ones for now, but it's okay. And now on to our final segment, which is our interview segment. And this week I got to speak with Susan Legiudai, who you might know as the Suze. She is on. She's a former Topps employee. She worked for Beckett. She has a really cool new e-newsletter called Card Chat. I recommend you guys go check it out and sign up. It's free. Comes out every Thursday, and we talk collecting and talk about her love of Derek Jeter, and we talk TTMing, and we talk about her time at Topps. So hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline from New York City is Susan Legiudai. You might know Susan by Suze. She goes by Suze in the hobby. She has a fantastic new newsletter that we're going to talk about. She has a great card blog, baseball card blog, and she also worked for Topps and was an editor at Beckett, and she has a really interesting job currently at Culturefly. So we're just going to talk collecting with Suze. So welcome to the program, Suze.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Very excited to have you. I followed you on your baseball card blog, and as I said earlier, I'm a subscriber to your newsletter. Baseball cards has really been important to your life, starting at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, I started collecting, like, as a kid, you know, like a lot of us. My thing was, you know, I would see my brother and my cousins collecting, like, trading their cards and collecting, and, you know, I'd want to get in on that, but they were like, no, these are my cards, you know? So when my mom, you know, she'd send me to the store, you know, go buy, so, you know, a carton of milk or something like that, and with the change, I would, like, throw in a pack or two of cards. Kids can't really do that anymore, but that's kind of how I got, like, my first bug into collecting. Was, you know, getting those extra packs of cards when I would go to the corner store for my parents. And then as I got older, and then when I got like my first job, it was right around 1996, 97. So that's, you know, the start of the Yankees crazy run, and I'm a Yankees fan, and Derek Jeter was a rookie in 96. So, you know, I started really collecting his cards right around that time and kind of never stopped. Even now, still collecting Jeter cards.
Well, you had a little, Willy Wonka, everlasting gobstopper and working at Topps and be behind the scenes. How did that come about?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. If you trace it back, it goes back to you know, when I actually started my card blog, a cardboard problem with my friend Marie, you know, the two of us decided, hey, let's do a trading card blog. You know, we love cards, and it was just a nice, fun outlet for us. And for somebody like me, you know, writing is a passion of mine. I did that for, you know, as a journalist for many years. So it was a really fun way to, you know, blend my two passions, which was writing and collecting. Through the card blog, you know, I got to meet so many people within the hobby. And, you know, one of them was Chris Olds at Beckett, who, you know, was like, hey, you know, would you like to do some freelance writing for us? So I'm like, of course I would. Like, who in their right mind wouldn't want to write for Beckett? You know, like, that was the thing you'd go to this, you know, read when you were growing up too. So, you know, I did some freelance writing for them. And then when they had a position, a full-time position open, I became their hockey, basketball, and football editor for their magazines. And from there, you know, again, got to, you know, meet more people, you know, within the hobby. And then 2 years at Beckett, I saw there was a job opening at Tops, you know, reached out to somebody at Tops. I got a job interview there, and then I got the job. So it's interesting. Like, you trace it all the way back to this card blog, that if, you know, a cardboard problem doesn't exist, I may not have ended up at Tops.
I wish I had your career path. I'm really envious of how you did it. I have a journalism degree, and I've done some stuff for Sports Collectors Daily, but I never got to use my love of cards and my love of writing together. So I'm really jealous and impressed on how you were able to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it too is like, I mean, it sounds easy, but a lot of it's also, you know, working hard and, like, you know, putting yourself out there. I think that's like the hardest part, is just like putting yourself out there for people.
Now, your time at Tops, you actually got to select players' photos that we use in cards. That must have been pretty exciting for you as a collector.
That was really cool. I remember when, like, you know, I first started and, you know, going through images and then actually, like, making my first Derek Jeter card, which, sure enough, like, I started Tops at the end of his career, so there wasn't too many. But, it, you know, that card actually, like, hold a special place for me, that specific card, because it was just too cool that I got to do that. But even just in general, like, the idea that somebody out there is opening a pack of cards and, you know, they're going through it and they see these different pictures and they're like, that's cool, that's cool. And I had a hand in that. Like, that's really a fun thing, because that's so, like, one of the first things you notice about the card is the picture. And so it was really fun thinking, like, you know, not even thinking, like, knowing that I get to, you know, shape these cards into something that I truly enjoy as a collector. So, you know, and I hope that, you know, people who open packs of cards were able to see that as well.
Did you ever have any of the guys sign any of the cards that you selected?
I'm trying to think. You know, I did a couple of signings for Tops, you know, like when they have players who are signing cards, you know, I did a handful of them. So I'm sure that in the process, there was probably a card or two, like, I helped create, not specifically. Like, I didn't go up to a player and be like, hey, I made this signing for me.
You had your own, and you had, were lucky enough to have your own card I saw online. How did that come about?
Yeah, so every year in Allen and Ginter, which just came out, Topps puts in 10 employee cards. So they picked, you know, the employees at random, and I was lucky enough to get chosen to have my card in Allen and Ginter 1 year.
That must have been really thrilling. Did you buy some packs to see if you could get one, or did they actually give you one?
Well, I got to keep a bunch of them because they gave us some, but only 10 of them went into the product. So okay. So they were framed. So I got to keep, like, unframed minis for myself, but the framed ones went into the product, and I didn't think I'd pull one. So I didn't, like, I mean, I opened packs that year, but not specifically looking for my card because of how rare they were. But, you know, a few ended up on eBay, and my husband finally outbid somebody for one.
Oh, that's great. So you did have one for your friend.
Yeah, we did end up getting one for us.
You also, I saw that you used cards for some special moments in your life. Like when you got married and
yeah.
The birth of your son.
Yeah, Tom's does like custom cards on their website, which is really cool. And so, you know, what other way as a card collector, because both my husband and I are big card collectors, so it's not just like a me thing. But so what better way for us to, like, you know, share these special moments is to actually make cards of them. And it was really fun. Like, for our anniversary, I made the cards for, like, our wedding when we got married. And, you know, when we shared it with, you know, family, and they really loved it too, because they also obviously know about our love of collecting. So that was really a lot of fun. And then I had to get my son his rookie card, you know.
That's really cool. My family actually got me one for Christmas. They got me for the podcast. So they got
That's
me
cool.
one in, with my podcast T-shirt. And they gave it to me for Christmas presents. So it was really cool. I've actually signed a few and given them out to some of my listeners.
That's awesome.
Which was kind of neat. You said your husband collects as well. Hopefully you did right and married a Red Sox fan.
No, he's a Texas Rangers fan. Yeah, Dan is a Texas Rangers fan, which, you know, as a Yankees fan, I have no problem with that, because Yankees have sort of owned them, you know, the playoffs over the years. So I haven't really had any issues there. But yeah, no, we share, you know, while we like different sports teams, we tend to keep that, because he's a Dallas Cowboys fan and I'm a New York Giants fan. So we keep that part, you know, separate. We kind of like just ignore each other when the game is on.
Are you a set collector or a player collector or just kind of a generalist?
Me personally, I'm a player collector. I've always had like an affinity for different players, and you know, I'll collect cards of, you know, the guys I sort of had, you know, like I said, an affinity for. So, you know, Derek Jeter is my biggest collection. You know, I have a bunch of padded cards and Mariano Rivera cards and Jorge Posada cards, because, you know, growing up, who, you know, with those teams, like, how can you not love the core four, so to speak? And then, you know, I have a collection of Kevin Kuzmanoff, because his heritage was similar to my parents. You don't find many people from that sort of area of the world playing baseball, so I thought it was exciting, so I collected his cards. So I'm a player collector.
So as your time at Topps, did you get to meet any of the players? You said you were at a couple of card signs, but did you meet any of your heroes from
Yeah, the coolest one was Don Mattingly. I got to do a Don Mattingly signing, and that was all. He was so nice. He was great, and he signed a bunch of cards, and he was really cool. I enjoyed that one a lot. But my favorite wasn't even a baseball player. My favorite was probably Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who, you know, people know from The Walking Dead. But I love the TV show Supernatural, and he was in Supernatural too. So I was like over the moon.
You don't have to tell me about Supernatural in my family.
Well, that's my favorite. It's my favorite TV show, and I was over the moon that, like, I got to do this signing with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And, you know, because at the time, Topps had the Walking Dead license, so he was signing Walking Dead cards. And he couldn't have been, like, a nicer guy. Like, I know I'm very big on, like, you know, even when journalists, I'm like, you only spend an hour with these people, you know, like a day. Like, how do you know if they're a nice guy or not? I'm very big. So, like, it drives me crazy when people say that. Like, oh, yeah, I met him one time. He was fantastic. I'm like, you know nothing else about them. Having said that, in the time I sat there with Jeffrey D. Morgan, he couldn't have been nicer, a more personable person. Like, he was easily, like, the nicest person I've ever done a signing with.
That's cool. It's nice when you meet somebody that you respect, even just for their work, and they end up being a nice person. I think it's an added bonus.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
Well, you mentioned your baseball card blog. It's acardboardproblem.com. If anyone wants to check it out, it's really cool. And you started that with your friend?
Yeah, I started that with my friend Marie. You know, the two of us were big card collectors. We don't write on the blog as much as we used to, just because, you know, it's like life gets in the way of everything. But, you know, she's also a huge Yankees fan. So she, you know, started with a big Robinson Cano collection when he was on the Yankees. And she's been collecting Pujols for a very long time as well. So she's also a huge card collector.
They have a great new newsletter. It's been out for a little while, right? The Card Chat.
Yeah, since June 1st, I think.
Yeah, I think I've gotten every one.
Thank you.
I think I subscribed to it the first day I saw it. It's like, this is awesome. I really looking forward to it. It's really high quality. It's cardchat.com. com? No, it's not Cardshed.com.
No, it's the Cardshed, but Substack.com. Because that's, yeah, Substack is the name of the platform of which the newsletter is on. So it's Cardshed.substack.com where people can go to sign up. But you can also, like, if you check out my Twitter at YanksChick with an X, Y-A-N-X chick, I link to it often enough, I feel like.
Yeah, no, guys, I recommend go checking it out. It's a free newsletter. Does it come out weekly or every other week? It seems to come out a lot.
Mostly weekly. You know, I think there was one week I had to not do it because, like I said, sometimes life gets in the way. So it's generally on Thursdays I send it out. You know, as long as, you know, like I said, things are crazy with, you know, going back to school and doing things virtually and work and, you know, everything and everything else.
Well, I think one of the most recent editions you featured Roberto Clemente, and I really like seeing some of those vintage cards. Was that from your personal collection?
No, oh my gosh, I wish.
I know, that's 68 3D card.
That was by far my favorite. I just sat there looking at it, and I'm like, this is one of the most beautiful cards I've ever seen. I love that card.
I agree. So I know you have an extensive collection. Where are you getting the images? Do you borrow the images from Topps, or how do you get all those cool, great images?
Well, if it's for my collection, you know, generally we'll take pictures of them myself. But you know, lots of times I'll just take them off of eBay, which sounds terrible, but yeah, they're there.
And you do a great job, kind of perusing what's going on in card collecting hobby. You always have really interesting stories and interesting links. Do you spend a lot of time, you know, crafting each week's newsletter?
Yeah, you know, for what I generally try to do, like a main topic, and the main topic I like to discuss what's going on in the hobby, like in the trading card world, because especially right now things are a little different. They're the same but different. You know, it's one of those things, and I think that there's a lot of interesting things happening right now with the new people coming into the hobby, and whether or not that's they're collecting or looking for investing or flipping. I think that there's just a lot going on right now. And, you know, given my background that we've discussed, where I worked at Beckett and I worked at Topps and I'm a collector, I do think I can provide like a unique insight into some of these things and maybe why companies make certain decisions or why certain things happen, or just, you know, using my knowledge to try to like make certain aspects clear for people, because I think sometimes as a hobbyist it's not always clear because you don't have all the details, and that's fine, because sometimes you might not have all the details because, you know, something specifically like a recent newsletter did, like what rookies are going to be an update and explaining why you're not going to see the guys that were called up this year and Topps update this year. You know, the assumption is you would see them, but you're not due to the timing of how things work on the back end. And now collectors wouldn't know that because it's generally not talked about. But given how I worked at Topps for years, I understand that process and I was able to explain that one.
So back in the 80s, cards collecting was really hot, and people got into it as an investment, and then it kind of died down, and it cooled down, right? And, you know, people got away from the hobby. But I think with coronavirus, since the coronavirus kind of hit, there are a lot of more people into cards as an investment. How do you look at those people that are the new people that are coming into the hobby and think of it as an investment as opposed to maybe a passion like somebody like you and I who have been in it for a while?
I don't have any issues with that at all. I welcome everybody with open arms. The only thing I hate are people who scam. As I say all the time, like, just don't scam people. You know, come in and do your thing. I don't have a problem with people who want to come in and invest. Like, I don't really see an issue with it. The more people within the hobby, the better off this hobby will be, because, you know, for years and years and years we heard about, oh, the hobby's dying off, what about the kids, what are we going to do here, you know, and there was so much lamenting about it. But now that there's people coming in, it's like, you know, there's people like, oh, this, it's too much. But so what do you want less people or more people? You know, it's like, I think a lot of times people, and this was actually something I wrote about recently, was people want it to be their way on their terms, but in reality, that's not how collecting will ever work. Your own personal collection can work that way, which is why you should always collect what you enjoy. But as the industry as a whole, it's never going to work that way. And that's why it's important to find what makes you happy within the hobby, because then when you do, you'll enjoy it a lot more, regardless of how other people enjoy the hobby.
I think the one of the nice things about your newsletter, and we're talking about Card Chat, and it's cardchat.substack.com is where you can find it, and or you can just go check out Suze's Twitter account, which is YanksChick, at YanksChick with a X for YanksChick, if you want to subscribe to it. But the newsletter does a great job of talking to different types of collectors. I think you do a really good job of talking to the traditional collector, like somebody like myself, or somebody that's a newbie to the hobby that might be just in it for investment. I think you do a very good job on both ends, and that's a difficult path to stay on, I think.
Thanks. I mean, I probably have a little more difficult time talking to the sort of investors personally, just because I don't collect that way. So I try to stick to what I know, but I can inform people regardless of how they, you know, have entered this hobby.
Yeah. What do you think of some of the newer releases, you know, the Topps Project and Topps Now? What's your feeling on some of the newer releases as opposed to the traditional, you know, set one, set two type of cards that Topps or Donruss has previously released?
Yeah, you know, as somebody who now has a career as a marketing person, I think that they're fantastic ideas because in this day and age, you have to constantly find ways to reinvent yourself. And I think with, you know, Topps Now and Project 2020, Topps has been able to, you know, recreate some of the things they do, but then offer them in different mediums as well as different delivery systems. While you still have the traditional cards of a Series 1 and a Series 2, and that's not going anywhere, they're still available in local hobby stores and retail outlets like Target and Walmart, you know, by offering these different lines on Topps.com, you're just giving people new and different ways to access product, which I think is only beneficial in the long run because you don't want to leave people out. And so I think, and this is, and I understand, I'm looking at it from specifically a business standpoint.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, I actually think it's a really great thing. But in the end, it helps collectors because look at, I mean, when Project 2020 first came out, you saw the excitement around it. You know, I can't remember the last time, and I understand like there was the sports and all that other stuff was going on, but I can't remember the last time I saw collectors that excited about something in this hobby. And I thought it was really fun and really cool. And while it has sort of died down, I still think that there's a place for it. And you still have those people who are still passionate about the project, which is really great to see.
Do you think it took Topps by surprise how successful some of their releases have been? Or it was kind of they just kind of thrown against the wall and say, oh, that one's good, so we'll keep that one going. And that one's not doing as well, and we won't keep that one going.
I haven't been there, so I haven't worked for Topps in a year, so I just want to make that clear. So I don't know how any of the thought process that went into Project 2020, because I haven't been, you know, part of it. But given the people that they got involved, like the different artists and, you know, how well-known many of them are, I'd like to say I don't think they were surprised. I think that they took a calculated risk in doing that because, you know, one of the pushes is always how do you get in front of more people? How do you get more eyeballs on your company, on your product? So by going outside of the sort of what collecting has been lately and outside of the comfort zone, it brought new eyeballs into the hobby. And I think that was done with a purpose. And so I don't think they were surprised. I don't know that for sure.
Sure.
But I'd like to think that, you know, they took a calculated, you know, risk in this project and it worked.
But, you know, box breaks and case breaks have been real popular, you know, gained in popularity, I would think over the last year, year and a half. That, have you taken part in any of those as a collector?
Not recently. I do go and watch them because I do enjoy, especially like stuff I can't afford. Like, you know, oh, cool, you're opening Transcendent. Cool, let's see what's in this. I can't afford a Transcendent. So I'll go and watch occasionally to see what people are opening. I do enjoy that aspect of it. Because I look at sort of like these chat rooms for like case breakers as these sort of new hobby shops. You know, it's a place you get to go and talk with like-minded people about, you know, the things that you love about collecting. So you get to see, and then you always get to see these cool new products. So I do enjoy that. I just personally just don't do case breaks because as a player collector, it's a little harder for me to like justify like spending money on a team and then not getting what I want. And then, you know, I'd personally just rather spend my money on the cards I want.
It has a little lottery ticket.
Yes.
To it, if you know what I mean.
And I like opening my own cards.
I agree. I do too. I think I do like, it gives you a chance to look at the new releases and these different high-end releases that, you know, you would never go and buy spend $1,500 for a pack of three cards. But I don't know. I haven't done any yet. I'm a little more negative than positive on it, but
I did a few of them years ago. I'm trying to say, to be honest, like I did one in 2016. I remember that was probably the last one I did was with Kraken Wax. So he opened 2016 Topps Heritage, and I did it because it was like, cool, yeah, I'll take the Yankees, you know, like sure, like why not? Like I'm gonna get a Yankees team set regardless. And I remember it was 2016 because he pulled an Aaron Judge rookie autograph card. For
nice.
Me. That's why I remember. And at the time, what's funny is at the time, it was like a $30 card. That's not what it is anymore. But at the time, like he still wasn't even hot.
Yeah.
And then this card comes out and it happens. Unless it was 2017, his rookie year, because now I'm trying to remember. It might have been 2017. But whatever year his rookie card was, is because he got called up in 2016. But it wasn't until August. So his rookie card was probably in 2017.
Yeah, probably. I think it is. You know, the coronavirus pandemic that we're in the midst of has kind of put a halt on any in-person shows. Did you get to attend any of the virtual shows that were online, you know, during the time when we're supposed to have the national?
Yeah, I checked out the oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank, but I had written about it, but I had checked out the Hobbypalooza, that's what it was, Hobbypalooza,
sure.
I checked out a couple of those when I had some downtime, you know, during those days, I checked out a couple of them. It was nice. It was really cool to see everybody, you know, in the YouTube community sort of come together and create this event for collectors because, you know, we were missing it. We were missing the National. So, you know, trying to bring that sense of, because the National, while it's a giant card show, there's a it is also, you know, the sense of community and family that, you know, I appreciate that Hobbypalooza was trying to do.
Have you been supplementing your collection with an eBay addiction like I have?
No, I went through, there was a couple of, about a month during this time when you only can go at home. I spent a lot of time on sports lots, filling in collections of like Jeter cards that I had been missing over the years. So I did that for about a month and then I was like, yeah, I need to relax. Let's like slow down a little bit.
If I could, I like to talk about, I'm a marketing person as well. I'm really interested in your current position as marketing manager for Culturefly. It's an interesting look at collecting. You maybe want to tell people about that and let people know about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, you know, Culturefly is a company that makes subscription boxes for different types of sort of like pop culture outlets. So I found them one day at New York Comic Con. I was working. It's funny. It all goes back to my blog, The Cardboard Problem, because I found them because I was going to work at the Topps booth at New York Comic Con. And while I was walking through, you know, I saw something about Supernatural and, you know, I was like, oh, cool. What is this? And I see it's a Supernatural subscription box. They're launching it that that winter, you know, with, you know, exclusive Supernatural items inside. And I'm like, well, of course I'm going to sign up for this. Like, I love, again, it's my favorite TV show. So I sign up for it. And, you know, kept getting the boxes. They were awesome. I loved them. I've been getting, and you know, I still get them. So, like, this is now, like, it's almost 4 years later. I'm still getting the boxes. But, you know, a little over a year ago, I saw a job opening there, and I was like, this sounds exciting. So I went and I applied for a marketing manager position. And, you know, I've been working today. I don't know when you'll post this podcast, but today is actually my 1 year anniversary at working at CultureFly. And, you know, it's been really cool because in that time, like, we've launched subscription boxes for a bunch of new stuff, including Friends TV show, The Office, Seinfeld. So there's a lot of, while it sounds like a lot of TV show stuff, there's a retro Nickelodeon box, like featuring like 90s Nick shows, Pusheen, DC Comics, it's called World's Finest, the collection, and then some like kid focused boxes like JoJo Siwa and LOL Surprise and Build-A-Bear. So it's really cool because they make a lot of really fun exclusive products for people who love these different brands. And, you know, I love Supernatural, my husband loves The Office, and and then even like last Christmas my mom was like, what can I buy for the kids, like for the grandkids? Because what's cool about the boxes is that they're like $40 to $50 depending on the brand, but like for $40 you get like 6 to 8 exclusive items, so the value is amazing as well. So my mom stole my Christmas gift idea for everybody, and like, you know, boxes for all their grandkids of like all the things they love, because there's enough for everybody, and that's what makes it cool.
Is there any autograph memorabilia included in any of the boxes or at any
No
level?
it's just officially licensed product, but there's no autographs or anything like that.
Do you, just back to autographs, as we are a podcast for TTM autograph collectors as well as collectors of cards and everything. Was that something you ever got involved in, requesting autographs through the mail? Or
I did years ago. I remember, I forget what the name of the product was, like what company made it, but there was like this really fun minor league set. And I took, and I got a bunch of their cards and sent it out to some Yankees minor leaguers. And for the most part, I got everything back. And now for the life of me, I can't even remember who they were, but I know I have them in a binder somewhere and I just have to find them. But yeah, I did it years ago. I was just getting nervous about doing it just because I don't want to like, not this, you know, for the most part, the cards that, you know, I sent out weren't really worth a lot. But it's like, I was always like, oh, I'm never going to get anything back, you know? So I was always worried about sending them out.
Now, between you and your husband, I'm sure you have a huge collection of cards. Do you have a room where you display your stuff, or you know, I'm always interested in where people keep their cards and how they organize them.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, we don't have a big apartment because we do, you know, we live in New York, but there's just a whole lot of boxes going on around here filled to the brim with cards. I'd like to say I display them better, but unfortunately I do not, just because we just don't have the space for it.
Someone told me the difference between a hoarder and a collector is a hoarder has everything in boxes and a collector has like everything displayed in a nice, neat area, and I'm kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I wish I had more space. I think we're always looking for more space. If you still have time, just a couple of other quick questions, and then,
sure,
and then I'll let you go if that's okay.
Yeah, that sounds great.
You know, as a writer, do you plan on doing some type of collection book, or, you know, card collecting book, or is that something you'd like to do in the future?
You know, it's something I've definitely have thought about, you know, and not to say never. I just don't know what it would be about. I don't know. That's my biggest thing. Like, I do like to write, and I've actually been working on a book, but it has nothing to do with collecting. It's a fiction book.
Okay.
But, you know, when it comes to collecting, I have thought about it. I just don't know what my topic would be, just because I don't know. That's it. I don't have a topic yet.
Yeah, I guess pick what one of your passions is, and then take it from there. I mean, I think everyone has a book in them. Plus.
Sure.
Do you have any favorite books on collecting that you can recommend, or that really kind of that you either enjoyed or influenced you in one way or another?
Yeah, I have so many books. I'm like looking. I have a bunch of books around here. There was that book on the Upper Deck card, which obviously I can't remember the name of it, but now.
Sorry to put you on him.
No, it's fine. It was written by like the news guy. So I could tell you like literally everything about the book but the title. and then there's actually, it's funny because I was looking at this book the other day. It's actually the Sports Card Counterfeit Detector. It was done by Sports Card Digest. And it's old, but it's like from the 80s. But I was looking at this the other day and I was like, or Sports Collector Digest. And I was like, they should really do an upgraded version of that. I think people would buy it.
I'm not familiar with that one. I'll have to check that one out.
Aaron, I knew it was on my bookshelf. So it was just called, I think, The Card, was it? Yeah, I think it was just, it was just called The Card, and it was by Michael O'Keefe and Terry Thompson. And it was The Collector's Con Man and the True Story of History's Most Desired Baseball Card. And I totally said Upper Deck, and it had nothing to do with Upper Deck, but the Wagner T206 card.
Got it, yeah.
Now, why don't you let everyone know how they can't hold you? I know you're on Twitter and on Instagram. Give out your site, your website to sign up for the newsletter and let people know how they can follow you.
Yeah, the easiest way to get in touch with me is on Twitter. I use Twitter probably more than all my other social sites, so it's at Yankschick, YANXCHICK. And then if you want to follow my newsletter, that's at www.cardchat.substack.com.
Great. Guys, go sign up for Susan's newsletter. It is really, really good. I can't tell you how much I enjoy reading it every week. And I didn't know about your cardboardproblem.com. I just learned out about that, but I'm going to be checking that out as well. And I follow you on Twitter. So, keep up the good work. I really, really enjoy your posts. And even though there's some Yankee stuff in there that I'll have to log through, but other than that, it's all great. And I want to thank you again for joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Having a great night.
Thanks.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. That was actually my 70th, that's right, 70th episode completed since I started this last January. So I want to thank all the listeners, new and old, for being supporting our program. I'd like to thank Ms. Susan LaJudai for joining us today. Please check out her new free e-newsletter at Card Chat. So go sign up for it. It's free and it comes out every Thursday. It's really, really a cool e-newsletter about cards and collecting. So I highly recommend that. I'd like to thank North Carolina Grading for donating this week's raffle prize. If you want to win one of two free card authentication, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, it's from North Carolina Authenticating Services and Grading, and his website is ncasg.biz. We're giving away two free gradings from them this week, so please send me an email if you'd like to enter the contest. Our next show will be next Sunday, October 4th, which I can't believe we're already almost into October, and I have a TTM collector version of Collector's Corner scheduled for next week, so that should be fun. I've already recorded that interview the other day. And that's about it. I want to thank you, the listeners, for hanging in there with us once again. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.